It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. I am your host, Colbert. Thursday edition of the show underway. I'm inside the Shirley Street studio. It is May 18 of 2023. Day one of the state track and field championships at the Big Blue Oval in Des Moines. If you've had your radio locked on to the Fan today, you've probably heard our hourly updates from our intrepid reporter in the field, Carl Woldridge. Shout out to Carl, John Swisher, and the whole gang from Koloff Media doing great work for us there, bringing you coverage of Metro and area student-athletes doing big, big things at State Track. So if you've missed any of those updates, they are available for you to listen back to on demand at the website, 1650thefan.com. That is also where you will find a handful of post-race interviews with Metro and area athletes from today's action. So I tell you every day, make sure you got the website bookmarked, 1650thefan.com. And then I see today, web traffic's way up, and we're gaining followers on Twitter. I'm not just saying it for my health people. We've got a lot of great people doing great work, trying to bring you as much local sports as possible. And we love the state track and field championships. It's such a great time of year to appropriately shine the light on athletes that have been working incredibly hard and seeing the results pay off for themselves in Des Moines. So check out the website. You can see the big post there right on the homepage. You click into that one. That's where you're going to find all of the hourly updates to listen back to on demand. And we'll have another update for you this hour when we go to the first time out of today's show from our own Carl Woldridge once again. So look forward to that. But then if you want to listen back to the other updates and see those video interviews that we have, make sure you visit that website and bookmark it. Not just saying it for my health, 1650thefan.com. We put a lot of work into it. And however you are tuned in, I appreciate that. 1650 AM, 102.3 FM on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming at the aforementioned website. Make sure that you're following us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. And hello to the newbies that followed us today. You can follow me on Twitter at Real Colbert and like the Facebook page. Type in 1650 The Fan. You'll find us there on the Zuck Machine. Hammer that like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. The website, that's where you get the podcast as well of this program. 1650thefan.com. Number to dial if you want to join in today. Save it in your phone. Questions, comments to add to the show, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. Email address, Cole at 1650thefan.com. Questions, comments, maybe there's something or someone you'd like to hear about or from on a future show, by all means, fire away. C-O-L-E at 1650thefan.com. All right, we'll get to area sports news and scores here in just a few short moments for this Thursday. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VEASAN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, and then we'll come back in the second segment and be joined by our friend Sean Keeler, excellent Denver Post sports columnist and reporter, former longtime Des Moines Register sports columnist. And, folks, we're going to hit our quota today. It's not a very big quota, But we're going to talk NBA playoffs, okay? Take a deep breath. We'll be fine. And you know me, I make the joke all the time. I'm one of 19 NBA fans in the state of Iowa. But the connections for Iowa State, Iowa, you and I continue to grow. And that's not necessarily the hook today. I just think that the Western Conference Finals is really good basketball. The Nuggets have a 1-0 lead. Of course, Sean right there at the games says it's living up to the billing and then some. And you think about, arguably the greatest player of all time, arguably, and LeBron James trying to add to his legacy with another NBA championship against Nikola Jokic, one of the most fascinating big men to ever play the game. That's not hyperbole. He is one of the most fascinating and talented big men to ever play the game. And if you have not watched Nikola Jokic, I am telling you that the two-time MVP that he is against LeBron James is an epic all-time NBA matchup. And that's what you live for when it comes to the NBA. If your team is not in it, and you want to get my eyeballs, get my attention, I need an epic matchup. And this one does it for me and then some. This is up there. It's right there with a Jordan versus Patrick Ewing matchup. It is. It's not quite Magic Bird, okay? That's about as good as it gets. But like I said, it's like a Jordan Ewing type thing where you've got an outstanding wing player and an outstanding big man that both are just the straw that stirs the drink for their teams, to put it lightly. And I think that if you like basketball, good basketball, they play defense in the playoffs a hell of a lot more than they play in the regular season. And any LeBron James team that's been really good, if you follow the NBA at all, follow LeBron at all of his championship teams have been defensive teams. Whether it was in Miami, the first championships that he won, going back to Cleveland, winning there, winning in the bubble with the Lakers, they've all been defensive teams. And I like that. I like how the defense ramps up in the playoffs in the NBA. So we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about the Pac-12 still trying to figure out its media rights deal. We talked last week on the show about a report that indicates Oregon and Washington are ready to push the button when the Big 12 makes the call, if they make the call, to invite them. Or excuse me, the Big 10 makes the call to invite Oregon and Washington of the Pac-12. So we'll check in with Sean on that. He's got some great sources in that world. So that's what we'll get to with Sean coming up in the next segment of today's show. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. Of course, they'll have an update from the Big Blue Oval in Des Moines, so you'll get those periodically throughout the show today. We'll come back on the other side of that break in the third segment, and we'll do a little summer hoops check-in with the coach, Kevin Lehman, ESPN college basketball analyst. Who would have guessed we're talking this much hoop on May 18th, but I will make no apologies. We're going to do a post-spring transfer portal look at the Iowa Hawkeyes, Iowa State Cyclones, UNI Panthers, and the Drake Bulldogs. As you might imagine, all those rosters looking different now. What does the coach think about it? Kevin Lehman. That'll happen in the third segment of today's show. And after we're done there, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up the show. Just a couple notes to get to, a couple things I want to bring up before we dive in on area sports news and scores. On Monday, we will be remote, on location, at the Cedar Valley Sportsplex for Cole & Company between 5 and 6 as the Cyclone Tailgate Tour makes its triumphant return to the Cedar Valley at the Sportsplex in downtown Waterloo. Had a great time there last year as it works great. The show on the air just before any of the, you know, the festivities really get going there. We get a group of coaches to sit down and join us live on the show. Had T.J. Otzelberger last year, Bill Finley, Christy Johnson-Lynch, and all the other coaches that are not able to fit into the time frame of this show. They sit down with Mark Simpson, and then Mark brings you those interviews on his show in the morning, Maximum Mornings, between 6 and 8. So we're going to do that again Monday on location, Cole & Company, 5 to 6 at Cedar Valley Sportsplex for the Cyclone Tailgate Tour. Also, you know what? I'm going to save this one. I'm going to save it if we have time at the end of the show, because I don't want to get I don't want to be short about this. It's a little you and I Iowa men's hoops thing that popped up, but and maybe that's enough of a tease that some of you are aware of it. I hope so, anyways, because I want to say some things about it, but we don't have the time right now. I want to make sure we stay on schedule, have enough time for two great guests today, and Sean Keeler of the Denver Post and Coach Kevin Lehman, ESPN college basketball analyst, and we got a lot to get to in the stack. So let's do that. Your Thursday area sports news and scores. Entries to the state golf meet on the line last night. Girls regionals took place in all four classes. Top two teams, top six individuals advance to the state tournament. Here's how Metro schools fared in Class 4A. Cedar Falls qualified for state again. Runner-up at the regional held in Piasta. Western Dubuque won the meet. Tigers shot a 339 to finish second and were led by Molly Ratchford, who finished third with a 76. This is Cedar Falls' ninth consecutive trip to state. Meanwhile, in a 4A regional held at Irv Warren, Waterloo West placed fourth. Waterloo Columbus's Grace Berg competed individually at a 2A regional in Anamosa, but finished tied for ninth, 13 shots off the leader. In a 2A regional, Sumner Fredericksburg qualified for state, and in 1A among area teams, Grundy Center and Nashua Plainfield both qualified for the state tournament. The tournament trail in girls high school soccer underway last night. Regional first round matches taking place in Class 1A. In matches involving area teams, Waterloo Columbus Catholic took care of North Fayette Valley 5-1. Dyke New Hartford overpowered Grundy Center Gladbrook Rhinebeck 8-1. Hudson edged Decorah 1-0. Appleton Parkersburg defeated Union 3-1. Denver cruised past Clayton Ridge 8-0. First-round regional play in 2A and 3A begins tomorrow. Boys High School tennis sub-state final matches took place yesterday in Class 1A and 2A, winners advancing to the state tournament. In 1A matchups involving area schools, Decorah defeated Appleton Parkersburg 5-0, and Dubuque Waller ended Waverly Shellrock season 5-0. In an area 2A match, Cedar Falls defeated Mason City 5-0. Tigers move on to the 2A state team tournament. Takes place in Waukee over 2 days, May 31st and June 1st. The annual Metro High School Baseball Tournament began last night at Robinson Dresser Sports Complex in Cedar Falls. In the first game, Waterloo East outlasted Columbus 4-3 in 9 innings. Trojans improved to 2-0 this season. Last night's game was the season opener for the Sailors. In the second game, Cedar Falls cruised past Waterloo West 14-2 in 5 innings. First win of the season for the Tigers. They are now 1-4. Wahawks fall to 0-3. Tournament finishing up today and at the top of the hour in the consolation game. Columbus, of course, taking on West. Championship game to follow. Later tonight, Waterloo East taking on Cedar Falls. Meanwhile, tonight in a Metro boys regular season soccer match, Waterloo West is at Iowa City Liberty. Speaking of Waterloo West, basketball standout Samarian Anderson is committed to Western Iowa Tech. He made the announcement on social media. Anderson was a first-team All-Mississippi Valley Conference Valley Division honoree this past season after averaging 14 points a game for the Wahawks. The Iowa baseball team will close out its regular season with a three-game series at Northwestern that began this afternoon. Hawkeyes 37-12 overall, 13-7 in the Big Ten. First pitch was at 4 this afternoon. The Wartburg softball team continued its postseason surge, upsetting 23rd-ranked Millikan in an NCAA Division III regional today. The Knights broke a 1-1 tie with a pair of runs in the bottom of the sixth and held on for the win. Millikan had the bases loaded when the final out was recorded. Fifth straight win for the Orange and Black to improve to 24-16 this season. The Knights next play tomorrow at noon against the winner of Trine versus Waynesburg. And former Waverly Shellrock head baseball coach Casey Klunder will be the new head baseball coach at Wartburg. Klunder spent the past 2 years as head baseball coach at Central College in Pella. In 16 years coaching at Waverly Shellrock, he compiled a record of 386 wins against 185 losses and one Class 3A state title. this spring, longtime Wartburg coach Joel Holst resigned just days before the Knights were set to open their season. Casey Chaplin was named as the Knights' interim coach, and the Knights finished their season 14 and 21 overall. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN action update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports columnist and reporter, joins us. Like usual, a lot to talk about with Sean. We do that next, right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Well, the Lakers have had a tremendous run lately, but ran into the top seed in Denver Wednesday and look to bounce back tonight in Game 2 after dropping the series opener. But it will be a big challenge with Denver 7-0 at home in the postseason. The Stanley Cup playoffs resume tonight, Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Panthers and Hurricanes in Raleigh. First round of the PGA Championship, and right now, Bryson DeChambeau is your leader at 4-under par, one shot better than Scottie Scheffler and Corey Connors. It has been a very tough start for the Masters champ, Jon Rahm, who was 6-over for today. Rory McIlroy, 1-over as well. Baseball today, the Angels top the Orioles 6-5. Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani with home runs in the victory. While bottom of the ninth, Cleveland leads the White Sox by a score of 3-1. The Mets top Tampa Bay 3-2. Pete Alonso with his 16th home run of the season in that one. And Miami a winner over Washington by a score of 5-3. I'm Rich Acker.
Looking for CBS Sports Radio online? Your favorite hosts and the best sports content and entertainment are available 24/7 on social media and YouTube and in the palm of your hand with the free Odyssey app.
CBS Sports Radio.
Follow the Cedar Valley's fastest preps with state track updates right here on 1650 The Fan.
At Waterloo Schools, we offer cutting-edge, rigorous, and relevant academic experiences that prepare our students for college, military service, and a wide range of high-demand careers. But we can't do this alone. Partners in Education is a powerful network of businesses and organizations that support Waterloo Schools in a variety of ways through sponsorships, volunteering, and more. This exciting cooperative agreement is between a business or an organization and one or more of our schools. The Partners in Education partnership can be tailored and customized to meet the unique needs of your business and our schools. We currently have over 50 community partners who contribute in their own unique ways to the welfare of our schools, the students, and the staff. And we're excited to keep growing our partnerships this spring. Together, we're growing champions from kindergarten to careers, college, and beyond. We rely on a wide range of businesses and organizations throughout the Cedar Valley, like coffee shops, banks, bowling alleys, and more, to join us as partners in education. Reach us at waterlooschools.org. With us, the future is now.
Reporting from the State Track and Field Championships for 1650 The Fan, I'm Carl Woldridge. 200-meter dash preliminaries are in the books, and we've got a couple of runners that ran well and one that qualified for the finals. Natalie DeMai of Denver ran a 25.87. She qualifies for the finals, whereas a couple of Wolverines from Dyke New Hartford ran well, but just not quite good enough to get into the finals. Macy Graves finished in 27.01. Peyton Peterson in 27.25. Neither one of those fast enough to qualify for the finals. 3,200-meter run, he had four area runners in that. The best finish was Grundy Center's Emerson Vokes. He ran seventh in 10.01.2. Teammate Caden Lynch finished ninth in 10.05.2. Finishing 11th was Neil Pinter of Denver in 10.09.3. And Jesse Washington of Applegate Parkersburg finished 23rd in 10.30.31. Before that, Amelia Condon of Union finished 11th in the 3,000 meters in Class 2A. She ran 11:07.75. Coming up next on the track for us is we've got four area teams in the 4x8 on the girls' side: Hudson, Jessup, Applegate Parkersburg, and Denver. And then on the boys' side, Denver and AP in 2A, Waverly Shellrock in Class 3A. Field event results that we have: Brady Kurt of Independence finished 9th in the 3A high jump, clearing 6 feet 1 inch. In the 2A long jump, it was Thomas Steele of Columbus Catholic finishing 17th in 19 feet 8 and a quarter inches. Jarek Hall of Dyke New Hartford finished 22nd, 18 feet 2.75 inches. 2A shot put, best area finisher was Bridget Rohr of Union. She threw 34 feet, 10 inches, good for 16th place. 20th place went to Katie Rudin of Columbus Catholic, 33 feet, 3 and a quarter inches. Going on right now, the 2A boys shot put, a lot of area competitors there. A pair of throwers for Appleton Parkersburg, Kale Stolter, and Carson Troina, a pair of Wolverines as well, and Nick Renicki and Braxton Johnson. And then sandwich in there as well is Columbus Catholic's Mason Knipp. Also going on is the 3A discus, Brody Williams of Waverly Shell Rock and Zach Seidels of Independence. 2A long jump has Kinsey Mulwinkle of Appleton Parkersburg, Sophia Keys of Columbus Catholic, and Jaden Peterson of Dyke New Hartford. And then the 3A high jump, Ramey Dahlquist of Waverly Shell Rock is competing in that event. Reporting from the State Track and Field Championships, for 1650 The Fan, I'm Carl Wooldridge.
If you need a garage, you need action. Garage
Builders. Hi there, Troy with Action Garage Builders. Whether you're looking to build that new garage you've never had or replace that old existing garage, call Action Garage Builders. We can tear down existing garages, install new concrete, and build your new garage utilizing maintenance-free siding, vinyl windows, insulated steel doors, and more. Give us a call at 232-1477. If you need a garage, you need Action.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Juice Reel, the betting intelligence tool that's making better bettors. Open the App Store and get your hands on Juice Reel. Start betting smarter. Juice R-E-E-L. Juice Reel.
Cubs look to end their four-game losing streak. Drew Smyly on the mound for Chicago today. 4-1, a 3.05 ERA. The Cubs are the +145 road underdog. J.P. France for the Astros, -155, 7.5 over the total at Minute Maid Park. The Cardinals today, +104 at home against Corbin Burns and the Brewers, who are -114, 8 under at Busch Stadium. Mike Clevenger on the hill with the White Sox, even money at home against Cleveland, and Peyton Battenfield, -110, 9 over at Guaranteed Rate Field. Mike Sonnet, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Overcast tonight with a chance for scattered storms. Lows dip down to about 52. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Highs level off around 65. Mainly clear tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 45. Warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs from the low 70s to the upper 70s. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now it's 81.
Always in moderation, right? Not with this guy. Get maximum sports from 5 to 6 right here on Cole & Company with Colbert.
Welcome back to a Thursday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. And right now, as we like to do from time to time on the show, we get our friend Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports columnist and reporter, to talk about all that's trending on the national sports scene. Make sure that you follow him on Twitter, at Sean Keeler. And to start this trending conversation today, me and Sean have made a pact that we are unapologetically going to be talking about the NBA playoffs. And I had said this on the show earlier this week, Sean, that, okay, if your team is not in it in the NBA, if you even are an NBA fan, it makes it pretty tough to pay attention because of how long the playoffs are. But I feel like we've got a couple really great conference championship matchups here. And, of course, I think it's headlined by the Los Angeles Lakers taking on the Denver Nuggets. Of course, you've been covering this series, been covering the Nuggets all season long. And for me, when you talk about just an incredibly talented center and Nikola Jokic's ability to affect the game in a number of ways, shooting, passing, scoring, so on and so forth, and then you juxtapose that against arguably the greatest player of all time in LeBron James, this to me is like a throwback matchup of stars. Call it Jordan Ewing. Call it Jordan and Isaiah Thomas. this is an epic matchup.
It's the EA Sports NBA games from before you were born, around about that time. The first ones I ever bought, and I'm going to date myself. Where's Morehouse when I need him to make me feel less old? I think the first one was, I think, Magic versus Jordan. No, Bulls versus Lakers in 91. which ostensibly had matching against Michael on the cover. So to your point, yeah, it's the thing that doesn't register for people. And as an Iowan, I get it. Like, I am a child of the 80s and followed the NBA of the 80s because I was following whatever Iowa State, Iowa, UNI athletes had gone to the pros, right? You had your B.J. Armstrongs and your Roy Marbles, and maybe less Roy Marble, but certainly B.J. and Jeff Grayer and Victor Alexander and those Iowa State guys, that, and Jeff Hornacek, obviously. That's kind of was my gateway to the NBA, and then you couldn't help but fall in love with everything else. You know, it was Lakers and Celtics for years and years and years and years. So I get that. And let me tell you what, I'm glad that if America hasn't had a chance to see Nikola Jokic, because let's be clear, they haven't. You really should.
Yeah.
I mean, even that's why I appreciate that for you as a true neutral, as you are going, as my wife did, who hates sports but went to Kansas. Yeah, I know, rock jock, boo-hoo. You know, but she knows basketball, at least what good basketball is supposed to look like, you know, as well as cheating. Bill Self is a whole other conversation.
Dollar Bill.
Dollar Bill. She watches Jokic, just goes, is he supposed to do that? Is he, like, he looks like Greg Ostertag. She goes, but Greg Ostertag couldn't do that. She's like, he looks like Greg Ostertag, but he plays like Jock Vaughn. And that's a very KU way of looking. And that's kind of right on the money.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it, to explain to old Big 8, Big 12 people in Iowa what Jokic's game is like. You look, you think, oh, it's going to be slow, lumbering, big country, you know, what was it, Bryant Reeves, center. Yeah, you think that, but just watch. You're going to be like, huh?
What a great comp to make a regional tie-in, if you will.
Yeah.
Because I had heard what I thought was a really good comp maybe a week or two ago, where someone, I can't remember who, mentioned, they're like, you know, if Arvydas Sabonis didn't come over and play for the Trailblazers until I think he was like 30 or 32.
Yeah.
But people had said that had followed him when he played overseas, that if he had come over at 22, that might have been the closest thing you could have got to Jokic. I thought that was a good comp.
It is, yeah. As a pack, you didn't get to see peak, kind of like Ichiro a little bit, although Ichiro played forever.
Yeah.
You didn't get to see peak 20s Sabonis, and you're getting peak 20. This is it. This is as good as he's ever going to be, probably. Also, because in about 5 years, he's going to have so much money, he's just going to retire and go back to his horse farm anyway, because he doesn't care about it. He is a different cat, brother. He is a different dude.
Well,
there have been many stories written about him, and they still, there have been a lot of good stories written about Nikola Jokic, and they still haven't gotten to all the deep, deep, deep stuff. Like, he is something else, brother.
And he is something else on the basketball floor. And the thing that I think this series comes down to, Sean, is for me, not necessarily a big LeBron fan or anything, not either a hater. I'm one of in the obvious minority here as it relates to LeBron, quote-unquote, fandom, but I feel like all of LeBron's great teams, championship-caliber teams, have been built on defense. And that's why these Lakers find themselves in the Western Conference Finals, because credit to Rob Pelinka, a guy who looked like at some point he was maybe going to lose his job, sprinkled pixie dust on his roster at the trade deadline, brings in some guys that play great defense. Next thing you know, boom, there goes LeBron's team taking off again. And so it's a matter for me, and a lot of this appropriately has been the talk after just one game. The Lakers are better defensively, but guarding Nikola Jokic and all the ways that he impacts the game, that's a whole different beast to tame. Are the Lakers capable? That, to me, is the million-dollar question.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter here, just speaking from before the game, as we talk about this, you know, when Jokic was held without a field goal after being, you know, video game unstoppable for three quarters, people were a little nervous that somebody found the cheat code, that the answer was, in fact, put someone small on him to do the heavy work. Like, don't, you know, what they did by taking AD off of him proved to be very adept on a couple fronts. One, you get tired banging a seven-footer for 40 minutes. Like, you're taken away from as good as AD was offensively. And that's also what the Nuggets want to do, is tire him out. Pulling him off of Jokic, okay, that frees up his legs and his lungs, one. two, now you've got an AD, a 7'6" wingspan, that you use him like a free safety, that then this little guy, because then Jokic, because he recognizes matchups so well, sees a little guy, and his peripheral vision is one of the many great traits he has. Obviously, for the passing, he has that kind of Magic Johnson peripheral. And the IQ that he recognizes, he knows when there's, I'm posting up this clown, whoever it is. He sees a smaller guy, and they go, oh, okay, it's a Star Wars one. It's a trap, you know, from Return of the Jedi. You know, they put Hashimura on him, and he goes, there I go. And then there's a 7'7" wingspan guy waiting. And then he turns around, and then there's Davis. It's like they switch like a Bugs Bunny cartoon, where now he has to kiss the dog or something, where he thinks he's kissing the beautiful one. There's a very un-PC analogy. But they switcheroo on him at the end, and there's Davis. Like, that's very tricky to do, but they pulled that off for a quarter. And it worked really, really well. So tonight I'll be very curious to see what the Nuggets then counter from that. Do you kick out, and then someone who's not a star has to make a three? Are they open? Do they throw it into coverage, and that turns into a turnover or a miss? It took the Lakers a long time to figure it out defensively, but once they did, they really did. So there's a little bit of, given the combined history, as you know, of the series of these two teams, this is the first time the Nuggets have had a 1-0 lead in a Western Conference Finals since 1978. It's the first time they've had a 1-0 series lead on the Lakers since 1979. They lost both those series. There's a lot of tripping. There's a little bit of Cubs 2016, again, analogies you can understand going in. It's like, how are they going to screw this up? Because this generally is what happens. So defensively, that was a good find for Darvin Ham and that staff. Offensively, that means the other guys in the Nuggets are going to have to be stars, and I think we'll be curious who this series is going to be about, those 3 through 6 guys in rotation, and if those guys step up and do some things the way KCP did and Bruce Brown did in game one, then they'll be fine, because they were also built with improved defense. Only it happened before the season, not at the trade deadline, and why these Nuggets have been different in these playoffs. But LeBron and AD in a do-or-die situation is a tough ask, man. It really is.
Yeah, it's just a classic top shelf talent series with a real top shelf game of chess going on between Darvin Ham and Mike Malone. And the local tie-in, Sean, that I had
You teased this to me.
Yes, we always like to make it local. And Lakers shooting guard Austin Reeves, who's become a sensation of sorts, before he transferred from Wichita State to Oklahoma and really became like a household name in college basketball for what he did as a Sooner, Austin Reeves took a visit to Cedar Falls and seriously was entertaining becoming a UNI Panther. I remember hearing the story about him going out on the town with one Seth Tuttle.
Oh, baby! Talk about a kaboom right there. History is written by the winners, and that would have been a different chapter of history right there. But that's an interesting fact. If I see him post game, I will ask him about his sojourn in Cedar Falls. I'm sure he got some great stories.
I bet he remembers it vividly.
Or doesn't at all, which would be even better.
Yes. Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports columnist and reporter, our guest right now on this Thursday edition of Cole and Company, NBA's Eastern Western Conference Finals going on right now. Quickly, Sean, because we've grossly gone over our limit of NBA talk, probably for the calendar year. The decade. But Heat Celtics, Heat up 1-0. I mean, I think for me, the story is just like, is there a Jimmy Butler comp? Is there another guy in NBA history that you go, really, really good player? But man, this guy is on a whole nother level when it comes to the NBA playoffs. And they don't have Oladipo. They lost Tyler Herro. And here they are up 1-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, I could argue for Reggie Miller if he'd have gone a little farther. I could argue for MJ himself, except that MJ was great wherever he wanted to be great, and he wanted to be the most great then. And again, for you younger listeners out there, before there was Tom Brady, there was Michael Jordan. I think they're the same dude. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Have you seen the conspiracy theory that Jimmy Butler is one of Jordan's actual sons?
Well, you know, I'm not going to. Yeah, we could. You have to get to 23andMe to going on that road of it. But I'm
just saying, they said that Butler was born 9 months
that's
after.
That's a compliment. Yeah.
Yeah.
In a basketball front, because, and I mentioned that with Brady, because, again, talking about it with the missus, she's not. My wife is not a Tom Brady fan because she's a Chiefs fan. And no, we could. That's a whole other topic. But I'm like, they're the same dude. Like they're. I'm not sure they're healthy human beings.
Yeah.
Their wives clearly did not want to live with them anymore. Aside from their paycheck, they are competitive to a fault. They are paranoid to a fault. And they may be the best to ever play at their respective positions because they are that driven. They are the same guy. Now, is Butler there? I don't know, but he's making a good case because he's dragging that thing as much as anybody. People who can do one-man show, I mean, it's not a one-man show. Bam's played well. Duncan Robinson, I covered in Michigan some with Landon Tan, got to know him a little bit during that Final Four run. He just played nothing but big games, Duncan Robinson. He's like the Caucasian Robert Horry without the ring. He just ends up in big situations. Does that make sense?
Yeah, up in big situations. It does seem
time.
Like
and
that.
Makes sure you need guys who are like role players in big games. KCP is kind of like that with Denver.
Yeah.
Here, he got that title with the Lakers. That's one of the reasons they traded for him is they wanted, you know, to go back to the Nuggets. And what I'm dealing with here is they wanted Robert Horry types. They wanted guys who'd been there. And in the case of Bruce Brown and KCP, they've gotten that. And we'll see if it's enough to get him over the hump.
All right, just a little bit of time left here with Denver Post sports columnist and reporter Sean Keeler. Follow Sean on Twitter, at Sean Keeler, S-E-A-N-K-E-E-L-E-R. Sean, there was a report last week that, I don't know if it was Brett McMurphy or who it was, that Washington and Oregon are basically, like, ready to go, whatever that means, if the if what needs to fall in place falls in place for the Big Ten to pick up the phone and go, hey, you guys want to be in the Big Ten? Apparently, they've got the U-Haul trucks outside ready to go in some sense. Meanwhile, the Pac-12, it's like I keep seeing reports about a media rights deal, but none of those reports about a media rights deal being done. What the hell is going on with the Pac-12? Like,
remember.
Are they going to kill themselves here? Because if they're not careful, they're going to kill themselves.
It is. This is literally, back to movie parallels, this is like all the Bond villains or DC here. This is like the Legion of Doom. Nobody trusts each other. And they're all at the end like, you're going to go, aren't you? You're going to go. No, you're going to go. And we talked about it last summer, I want to say, when now 10 months, God, it's been that long, or 11 months, when USC and UC, when the two biggies fell out of the Pac-12, we're like, oh, boy, here we go in Oregon and Washington right at that minute. I mean, Oregon and Washington bought U-Hauls at that moment and went, come on, we're coming. You need a division. You can't just do this with two. I mean, and I agree with that to some, you know, at some level, except that the Big Ten hasn't really done that with the East, with Maryland and Rutgers. That's a whole other. They're not consistent with how they do this, except to the answer of what's going to happen. This is all going to go to that next level when a TV network says, okay, i.e. Fox, we'll give you 20 more million to make sure you average out the same value per school to make this happen. Until that happens, and some very high-level people who I trust and talk to are connected to other high-level people are not positive that's going to happen because I've been pushing for a 2014 team Big Ten for a decade and just annex the best of the Pac-12. And sorry, Washington State and Oregon State and be done with it. I just want CU in the Big Ten. Anything we get CU in Northwestern playing, I'm good with for some bizarre reason. But yeah, they don't think that's crazy imminent, but they also didn't see UCLA and it's UCLA football playing in the Big Ten at this time last year. So something's coming that's going to shock us in a way that we were shocked. So maybe it's something even bigger than what the Brett McMurphys are leaning, but I am no longer surprised at being surprised.
All right, going to have to cut the conversation that I had with Sean just before today's show a little short. Got to make sure we can get to our next guest, the coach, Kevin Lehman. We're talking college hoops right after this.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Distance champions were crowned to open the Iowa High School Track and Field Championships in Des Moines. Noelle Steinis from Calamus Wheatland pulled away with two laps remaining to repeat as the girls 1A champion in the 3,000. She won the 1,500 meters at the Drake Relays.
You know, my body feels really good, but whatever happens, happens. I'll be happy with all my accomplishments this past track. Here, I told my mom, I'm like, I won Drake. If I really don't do well at state, I'm okay with that because everything happens for a reason.
Field events. Algona Garrigan's Audie Crooks won her third 1A girls title in the shot put. Her winning mark of 44 feet, 3/4 of an inch came on her second attempt. The state meet will close a decorated high school career for Crooks, who will move on to play basketball at Iowa State.
It's definitely bittersweet. I've enjoyed my time at Garrigan. I've enjoyed my time, you know, coming to the events put on by the union. It's just been a lot of fun.
The Iowa City High boys set an all-time Iowa record in winning the 4x800 relay. This is Radio Iowa.
Three Cedar Falls High School students have earned the highest possible ACT composite score of 36. Senior Jack Beecher, son of Michelle and Bo Beecher. Senior Ashkat Mehta, son of Tulsi Sharma
Pankaj Mehta.
And junior Sai Pranav Kota, son of Nutana Induru and Gopi Kota. All earned perfect scores. The ACT is a curriculum-based achievement exam that measures what students have learned in school. About 0.25% of students who take the ACT earn a top score. In the U.S. high school graduating class of 2022, only 3,376 out of 1.34 million students who took the ACT earned a top composite score of 36. Students who earn a 36 composite score have likely mastered all the skills and knowledge they will need to succeed in first-year college courses in the core subject areas.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Cole Bear. Follow Cole on Twitter at RealColeBear.
Yeah, welcome back. Thursday edition of the show continues. We're talking a lot of hoops today. We had our friend Sean Keeler of the Denver Post on earlier. He's covering that Nuggets-Lakers series. I think that's great basketball. We're going to see if we're going to get great basketball this upcoming winter, and I suppose there's a little meat on the bone, and that's why we bring in ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman. The spring transfer portal has come and gone, and all four of Iowa, Iowa State, UNI, and Drake have made additions to their roster. So we bring in the coach. Coach, how you doing? You getting any work done this time of the year?
I tell you what, that portal was crazy. Every day something new was popping up. How about our guy Dickinson going to Kansas? That was the sweepstakes. I heard he turned down close to $2 million NIL money at Maryland to be a Jayhawker.
Yeah, and he pretty much said that he's like, well, I left because I could get more money elsewhere. I'm hardly paraphrasing there. That's some world we're living in now, huh?
No, it's crazy. And then, you know, they lost Love. Michigan did. Evidently, the second time they couldn't get a recruit in because of academics at the Michigan Wolverines. So there's some issues going on over there at Michigan.
Yeah, we'll have to see how Juwan Howard manages the rest of that offseason. But, Coach, in the time we have together today, I want to focus in on all four of Iowa, Iowa State, Drake, and UNI. Let's start with the Iowa Hawkeyes. They make two additions to their front court. Philip Rabracha obviously graduating. Josh Ogunleye, for what it's worth, transferring. So they have those spots to fill on their roster. They go get Evan Bronze, who played at Iowa City West. I think an energy, run the floor, set screens, rebound type of five that I would think is a backup at the Big Ten level. And then Ben Cricke is the headliner from Valpo, leading scorer. In terms of points per game from the Missouri Valley this past season, we've seen plenty of Cricke. How do you think, the time best spent, how do you think Cricke's game transfers?
I tell you what, Cole, I've said this before. If you look at the Valley guys who left last year, Antonio Reeves, Noah Carter, Isaiah Mosley, Terry Roberts to Georgia, Tyreek Key to Tennessee, all those guys had great success in that next level. You know, Reeves averaged 14 a game for Kentucky. Everybody else was close to double figures. I think Cricke's going to really transition well to the Hawkeyes because he is an Iowa type of player, really skilled. We know that. Led the Valley in field goal percentage. Kind of an old school, 17, 19 footers automatic. Not great defensively, so he fits in with well with the Hawks. I like that combo, though, because, you know, Eldon Miller always taught me, don't recruit guys at the same position that are alike. You've got Bronze, who's a physical kind of a dunker guy, who's going to live off other people's penetration,
yeah,
backside rebounder, can't score with his back to basket, pick and roll guy. I like that combo for their front line, both physical and mature players for the Hawkeyes.
That's an excellent point, and I always like it when we can work in an old Eldon Miller shout out on the show. Let's keep it moving here. Iowa State coach TJ Otzelberger, I think him and his staff were like, guys, we are, for the life of me, we're not going to be short on guards on our roster this next season. And they do that by going out and getting three transfer guards, Curtis Jones from Buffalo, Keyshawn Gilbert from UNLV, and Jackson Pavelecki from Wofford. And don't sleep on the kid from Wofford. He was outstanding as a freshman for the Terriers. And I know that you had seen Curtis Jones this past season.
I did. You know, the Paradise Jam, Buffalo was in there, and Curtis struggled the first game against Drake, had 4 points, and just blew up the next two games where he had 22 each. Long, skinny guy. You know, he's a Minneapolis native. I think he's out of De La Salle High School. Might have went to Indian Hills for a year or two before landing at Buffalo. I really like him. And I was with TJ Otzelberger and the other three head coaches, DeVries, Coach Jake, and McCaffrey, at the gala for Coaches vs. Cancer last Friday. And TJ said, I got to get some shooters. And that's what he went after with Gilbert, Jones, and the young man from Army, guys that can make threes that you pronounce it better than I do. Pavelicek?
Jackson Pavelecki.
Pavelecki, 46 threes at almost 40%. Now, for a freshman, that's outstanding.
Yeah.
I think Gilbert, more of a combo guard, can play some point guard for him. You know, Lipsy, if you look at him, he had 5 triples all year last year, so they got to get some more scoring in the perimeter. And TJ talked to me about that last week. They got to replace Kalsher, of course, Caleb Grill. Did Caleb Grill end up at West Virginia or somewhere else in the Big 12?
Mizzou, I want to say.
Mizzou, that's right. I knew he ended up somewhere in here. What a weird world we are in this transfer
yeah.
portal.
Moving along, you and I, the one of only 6 teams in Division I to not lose a player to the transfer portal this offseason. The only players they lose to graduation, Derek Krogman, a walk-on forward, James Betts, a scholarship forward, stretch 5 type, but UNI goes out and addresses a need, gets Loyola transfer Jacob Hudson, a Minnesota native, all of 6'10", a guy they recruited out of high school. The scheme fit really wasn't there after Porter Mosier left and Drew Valentine came in as the head coach for the Ramblers. It seems like this is just the type of transfer that when the Panthers go into the portal, that they're able to get someone who's a good fit, Coach. What do you think?
Well, this is a high-quality guy, and they recruited him hard out of high school. He picked Loyola because I remember his sister had gone there, his older sister. I think he actually paid his own way that first year at Loyola. And his freshman year, he was pretty good backing up Cameron Krutwig, but he kind of got in Drew Valentine's doghouse. When they went to A-10, they tried to play faster. But I like this kid. I always had soft hands, big physical body, can run, 6'11", 250 pounds. And you look at his field goal percentage, not a big sample size. This guy really shoots it well. I remember the game against Southern Illinois in 2021 where he had 15 points off the bench for the Ramblers. I think this is a great pickup for the Panthers. And of course, they got 3 pretty good freshmen coming in too. But how about that? Talk about culture. One of 6 teams in America that does not have a player that goes in the transfer portal. That says a lot about what they've established up there at the McLeod Center on Ben Jacobson.
And, Coach, you could probably have a good idea of what it must be like because I had Seth Tuttle on the show earlier this week, and he's like, you know, May is usually our slow month, but ever since the portal, it's not like that anymore. But he said, thankfully for us, we haven't had anybody transfer out, so we've actually kind of been able to get that old school rest and relaxation. I imagine for you, you know, you think back to coaching and you're like, yeah, May was pretty nice. Got out and did some fishing, some boating, went some places. But, oh, man, I have to imagine nowadays these coaches getting a lot less sleep in the month of May.
Darren DeVries talked to me last Friday. He said, just be glad you're no longer in this business. It is unbelievable. And Ben Jacobson told me, I was honored as the UNI Fan of the Year as a cancer survivor at that gala. Coach Jake called me at a long talk. He said he had 12 guys in the weight room. That just doesn't happen in this era of transfer portal. Usually you got five or six guys that have hung around. The rest are moving on. So this is really good for UNI. And if you look at the Valley, boy, don't you have to pick the Panthers as one of your top three in this preseason poll?
I think they got to be at least top three, if not top two. I do.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, I'm looking – we don't know what people are going to bring in. And I'm gonna do that tour in September and October because there's going to be so many new faces in the Valley.
And finally, Drake, they bring in Aiton Wright, a guard from Cal State Northridge, and Ethan Roberts, a guard from Army that put up some big, big numbers, had some big games in his career with the Scarlet Knights. It looks like Darren DeVries' staff. I mean, I don't know anything about Aiton Wright, but if Darren DeVries' staff, their history precedes themselves, Coach. Like, Roberts' numbers are there. I don't know a lot about Wright, but I have to imagine if they want him, he's going to be a player in the Valley. They needed some backcourt help, and they've got it.
Yeah, Wright to me looks a little bit more like DJ Wilkins. You have a combo guard that can really shoot threes. Looking at his stats, 6'1", 185. They're bringing back Tucker DeVries, great guy to build along. And your favorite player, Darnell Brody's got another year of eligibility.
Your favorite player.
They got the big man in the middle. And you know, I like Connor Enright. This is going to be a new-look Drake team because you know, he lost so much with Penn, Sturts, Wilkins leaving. We'll see if they filled their needs. And, you know, I looked at – you talked about Ethan Roberts. Yeah, this kid shot 40% from three at 6'5", and we know how much the Bulldogs love that three ball.
Coach, thanks so much for being here. Great to catch up with you. And I'm sure those apartments of yours down in Iowa City, they're probably all spick and span when you – turn them over after that semester at Iowa ended, right?
Cleaning gutters today, buddy. You got to keep those gutters clean so the water drains properly.
Water, a landlord's worst enemy.
Yeah, no question about that one.
Well, Coach, hopefully you're on the water instead of picking through it in a gutter here soon. Take care. We'll catch up again at some point and enjoy your summer, all right?
All right. Cool. Good talking to you.
You too. The coach, Kevin Lehman, ESPN college basketball analyst, kind enough to join us on this Thursday edition of Cole & Company. Let's take this final timeout. NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary during the break. We'll come back, wrap it up right after this.
I'm Bridget Condon with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Davante Adams' desire to play with his good friend Derek Carr lasted less than a season in Las Vegas. He'll now be moving on to Jimmy Garoppolo, and Adams admits it's going to be an adjustment, but that the passer doesn't matter. Adams telling The Ringer, quote, "It proved that I am me. A quarterback doesn't make me, I make me, and I can do it consistently at this level." Christian McCaffrey didn't expect to be traded to the 49ers this past season, and he admits his initial reaction was anger, but in retrospect, he's glad it happened. McCaffrey saying, in hindsight, he believes it's the best thing that ever happened to him. And Ja'Marr Chase is expecting a lot out of himself. Chase says he's looking to rewrite the Bengals franchise record book from top to bottom. Chase already holds the record for single-season receiving yards and is looking to break the receptions record. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Coming into last night's Eastern Conference Finals, the Miami Heat weren't given much of a chance to knock off the Boston Celtics. Miami came into the postseason as the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference, currently missing the team's third leading scorer, Tyler Hero. But if we learned anything about Jimmy Butler over a four-year stretch in Miami, you can never count him out. Butler willed the Miami Heat to the finals in 2020, and last night, the Miami star had his way with the Celtics. He's a six-time All-Star. He put up 35.7 assists, six steals, in the win at the Garden. With Boston loaded with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and a lot of experienced role players, sixth man of the year Malcolm Brogdon, the Celtics have the firepower to come back and win this series. But if the team continues to fail to contain Jimmy Butler, knocking off a hard-nosed Miami Heat team with a great head coach won't come easy for the Boston Celtics. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. You've heard CEO Howard Mackler of Innovation Refunds and GetRefunds.com explain how he's helped so many small businesses with the ERC tax refunds. In fact, Innovation Refunds has already completed over 17,000 returns for many kinds of businesses just like yours. Construction, retail, restaurants, bars, hotels, and so many more. There are other companies that say they specialize in ERC tax refunds, but not every company is the same. Innovation Refunds has hundreds of five-star Trustpilot and Google reviews and are certified with the Better Business Bureau. Trust your business with the experts at Innovation Refunds. It's going to take you about 8 minutes to start the process. You have to go to GetRefunds.com. No upfront charge. They don't get paid until you get paid. Innovation Refunds has already helped clients claim over $5 billion in payroll tax refunds. GetRefunds.com or download the app from the App Store today. That's GetRefunds.com. Good luck.
Boss it.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Thursday. Got to thank Sean Keeler of the Denver Post and ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman for joining today's show. We got a few more hourly updates yet coming from the state track and field championships at the Big Blue Oval in Des Moines, so keep your radio locked right here for that. You can listen back to all of them from today on demand at 1650thefan.com, as well as post-race interviews with some of our metro and area athletes, so check that out. I'm back tomorrow at 5. Have a great night.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.